Let me say a word about what we think forums are here at Holden, and then a second word about why we chose the topic. At Holden, a forum is a chance to express yourself. It's not a presentation in which people are set up to give you a bunch of information and work back and forth, but a place where a point of view might be expressed by one person or another, and the opportunity for that person, that point of view, to be explored, or for somebody to say a counter point of view, or different, or variation on a point of view. What we try to do is ask those who speak to take responsibility for what they say, rather than saying, this is the way it is. We ask people to say, that's the way I think it is, or this way I believe it is, or my feeling is this, so that the next person then can have an alternate feeling without having to knock down the one that was there ahead. So taking responsibility for what you say is just one thing we ask. And then also we ask that if others haven't spoken, that we give chance for folks to speak who haven't spoke, so that we get as much of a dialogue as going with a number of people as possible. If that's the case, I'll be serving as moderator, maybe pointing to people, but if there aren't a lot of people who want to speak, then we can just let it flow and let it go. The goal is not to end up with an answer or a vote, consensus here, or take a vote on what's right or what's wrong. It's simply a chance to express ourselves, and we ask you to feel free to do that. We try to keep it from being one way or another. We'd like just everybody to have the right to express their views without feeling that there's something wrong with them just because they're expressing them. The second thing is, why we chose this is that part of a community, we talk about all kinds of things. When you sit at the table, you hear people talking about their trips or where they're going or where their jobs or everything else. And one of the big things that's going on in the country now is the election. And we thought this is a good thing to talk about too. Maybe in congregations you don't have a chance to sit down with a bunch of people and do that. Well, Holden's a place where you do things that you don't get a chance to do all over the place, and so that's why we chose to do that. And we hope that it'll be helpful for all of us tonight. Well, I'll serve as moderator. Therefore, I won't be sharing mine. I'll be glad to share points of view any other time, but my role as moderator will be to just keep things moving along. So I'll ask the question again, and hope that it will be that somebody's willing to just lead off for us. For whom will you vote in November? And inherent in that little question is, and why? And if anybody's willing to lead off, we'd be delighted. And this doesn't mean you gotta hold tight. Obviously, some people might not even be ready to say yet, but sure.
Well, I just wanted to add one thing. In my session last night, someone mentioned that something like there's no point in talking about who we're going to vote for because everyone's made up their minds. And so just quickly in my session, I took a quick poll, and only about half of the people indicated that they knew who they were going to vote for. So maybe another part of your question could be, if you don't know who you're going to vote for,
why?
What kinds of things are you confused about?
Excellent. Thank you. That's helpful.
I'll start it off.
Good.
Because I'm one of those, I guess perhaps, that I don't know who I'm going to vote for.
Okay.
From what I have seen of some of the things that have been done by President Reagan and so forth, I've liked, and some of them I haven't liked, and I guess some things that Mr. Mondale has said he was going to do, I agree with, and so perhaps I haven't. So with me, I am, and then there's also a little bit of to see how they come across in this debate, at least this is what I'm waiting for. To see who perhaps really has the more substance in this debate thing.
The two debates, right?
Yeah.
When does it happen?
In October,
11th and 21st.
That's it. Thank you. That's the first is president, and the last is president, and the vice president's in between.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Way that you could vote and express the fact that you don't care for either one of them.
Yeah.
Without just not voting, I never not vote.
Yeah. Okay. Somebody else.
Voting without voting for either one of them is something I did last time.
How?
By voting for John Anderson. But I don't. With what I've seen done the past 4 years, and the kind of attitudes I hear from the president and the way he's devoted so much money to the military budget and whatnot, I don't really feel I have a choice this time. I can't in good conscience vote for anyone except for Walter Mondale and Billy Pearl.
Okay. Well, obviously, and he said for his conscience, so he wasn't saying for anybody else's, so that's clear. And we respect that. Yes?
The thing that surprises me the most is how much the press has made it into that there is no contest. That, or how much the polls are saying right now that Reagan will win without any.
Do you want to say more on why that you said that surprises you? I forgot the word verb you used.
Surprises me, yes.
It bothers me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it seems like maybe I'm just around a really liberal or anti-Reagan. I don't know, maybe I surround myself with people who agree with me, but I'm really surprised at how much, how popular he is and how much everyone expects him to win.
Okay, thank you. Please.
No, that's all
okay.
I was going to say.
Okay.
I just feel that it's helping some people always want to be on the winning side. It's not debating an issue, it's just stating something before it happens. Just
yeah.
Like the papers came out that Dewey had won.
Yes, I remember.
The next morning they ate Pearl.
Could that be political strategy on the Republican's part? About that?
Did you all hear what he said? Okay. I wonder if Judy's poll in her session might not be as reliable as any.
Sure.
Maybe it might be a good cross section, I don't know.
I think we've become too poll-oriented. It really bothers me that I think people are paying too much attention to these polls and saying, well, why bother? He's going to win, so I don't have to bother to vote because 10 people in New Hampshire voted one way. We already know the outcome of the election or something. And it's amazing that people are so gullible for that sort of stuff.
You know what upset me last time? My husband was still working, and before he even got home to go and vote, they had already projected the winner.
Yeah,
that's right. I don't think they're allowed to do that this year.
Yeah, I think they pulled back on it this year.
They're not allowed to broadcast in the other time zones where the polls are not going to be closed before they come up with a prediction. There's too many people stay away from the polls.
They've asked the stations to do that, but are they going to?
I think it's been required now.
I hope so.
I think that they're good. Well, at least I think the networks have agreed to it or something like that. I think that's true.
And they have
networks. Yeah, the networks, yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you a question again. For whom are you going to vote in November? And why? Or if you haven't made up your mind, what are you thinking about? What's going to help you make up your mind? What are the decision points going to be for you? Sure.
I'm going to vote for Mondale for the same reasons as we stated back there. The large defense budgets at the expense of social programs. Hypocrisy. Of talking about the Democrats coming up with large deficits and being deficit spenders when he's running around like a kid in the cookie jar with the cookie jar and spending whatever he wants on military and considering all the social programs somehow or other to be considered when you're talking about deficit spending. I guess I'm a little worried about the deficits in the long run, if we manage to have a long run.
Okay, thank you. Someone else? Shirley.
I've always been a little bit afraid of Reagan's outlook on negotiating for peace with foreign nations, that he has been very unwilling to negotiate with the Russians. And I think he sets sort of the feeling of the whole country in that respect. And I think that's why would be one of the reasons why I would not vote for him. Because I think our foreign policy is very important to consider.
Thank you. Somebody else?
I'm going to vote for Mondale, mainly because of human rights. I think it's important for the president to realize that his stance on human rights, what that means to the rest of the world, and with Reagan not stating, even stating that he was for human rights and what effect that had on Guatemala and so forth. They were even bold enough to say in their papers that at the time we had a friend that was working as a nurse, and they were blatantly going to start up their executions because they knew they didn't have to worry about it with Reagan being in office. But things like that need to be,
Okay.
Elmer?
Yes?
To follow up on that, the man who is essentially the expert in Central America for the Presbyterian Church has many contacts throughout Central America and said essentially the same thing, that as flawed as Carter's human rights policy was, and as much as Carter used it for PR purposes and applied it inconsistently, that the difference around the world is considerable, that there are literally hundreds or thousands of people who are in jails for political purposes today because Reagan is in office rather than Carter. That, in fact, Carter's human rights policies did have good effects around the world, and that's one of the big reasons I'm going to vote for Mondale.
Okay. Sure.
This will be my third presidential election I voted in, and this time, or I should say last 2 years, I begin to realize that I'm not voting for a person, I'm voting for the party. I vote Democratic this time. Although we vote for a president, the chain of command is so long, and the decisions that he makes, putting his people from his party into specific positions with a lot of power. I really feel like you're voting for a party more than you are for the president. And Reagan, to me, has showed that very clearly. He's a fantastic communicator. And so he's the party's chief communicator. He's got a real winner. But I'm voting Democratic.
Don't you think Mondale will do that? Get his men all lined up, too?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he will. That's why I'm voting Democratic. See, I'm voting the party this time rather than the president, because I've seen what the Republican Party has done. I don't blame Reagan for it at all, but rather the Republican doctrine, all the things that people talk about. Yeah.
Go ahead. Did you want to say more? I didn't know if you were going to ask more questions. I didn't want to cut that off. Okay.
The Reagan administration, there are a lot of appointments in the political business, so to speak, that are technically political appointments, which traditionally, say for the last at least 20 years, have not been done, changed politically. They have been the people who have been doing the jobs, if they've been good, they've been kept in. A lot of that changed with Reagan coming in. They pretty much went down the line and appointed people to all the positions they could. And I know, at least in the National Science Foundation, there were some problems caused by that. And I believe that there probably were problems caused in a lot of other departments by that activity. And so that is just another reason why I'm not in favor of Reagan and his party this time. That brought me to the point that I use to make my decision, and that's that the next presidential party, the next party in office, is going to have a real big opportunity to quote, stack the Supreme Court.
That's the thing.
The two or three justices.
I don't think it really makes any difference who's president, except for that.
Yeah, and that frightens me very much so.
Except for that. I think it's, it has a chance of appointing five.
Is it five?
And the other three.
Four or five.
Yes.
Sounds like a landslide. If somebody here is going to vote for Reagan, if they don't just go to the black power.
You know, my husband up there is. He's down here.
I think we should hear from that.
Yeah, they couldn't hear what you just said, Dan. Would you want to repeat it?
Oh, it sounds like a landslide here at Holden Village, and I would be concerned that if people here who are planning to vote for Reagan would be hesitant to say anything, and I think that point of view should be respected.
Oh, absolutely. I would hope that anyone would feel comfortable in pointing their view. In spite of the fact that several speakers have spoken in one direction, that's no...
Why is it scary because of the points of the Supreme Court? Because they're conservative? What's your reason?
Yeah, in particular because they're conservative, but...
Don't you think that's good?
No, I guess I'm not conservative.
The American Civil Liberties Union is very concerned because they are really chipping away at our civil liberties.
You look at all the history that's happened to countries in the past where you've got too liberal, you've just gone to pop. You look at England, for example, it's very good. Now they've gone back to the basics. You see they're coming back again. This is what we're trying to do. And if you're going to stack it with all kinds of giveaway programs, then you'll have a worse deficit than what you have now.
Just so we all add to that, that's a personal point of view, for each points of view. That's great. Please.
The only comment I was thinking in talking about the Supreme Court situation, if my memory serves me correctly, when Nixon was elected, there was a big fuss too because he was going to have the power to appoint enough people to sway the balance on the court, and there was an awful lot of concern about it. Now these same people have been on this court and we're worried about them leaving and putting other people on there who are appointed. So it seems like in the Supreme Court it's almost as if the person grows to the job. They are confined by certain limits, and somehow when they get in that position, perhaps their views change. Because a lot of people in my knowledge that have been appointed, they've been so afraid they're going to be so ultra-conservative or do these terrible things, and surprisingly enough, they don't usually do it. So maybe it's not a fear that we should be quite so concerned about.
Somebody else?
Personally, I think the cure is that we have, that representatives can run only two terms for 8 years, a senator can run only one term for 6 years, and a president can run for one term for 6 years, we'd have an awful lot less problems than we have today. You'd have the Port Bill effect eliminated, and a lot of our other problems that we have created by people being in there 30 years and not really doing the country what they're supposed to do, basically, because they're just scratching each other's back, so to speak.
Okay, thank you. Somebody else?
I can agree with that. I agree with that. That I think that we could even go further by taking a lot of the political, say, advertising and so forth, and maybe trying to make sure that it is set up in such a way that candidates get a chance to express their opinions on a more equal basis, so that people are voting for not the person who has the best commercials, but the person who has expressed the best views on an issue.
Great.
That's what you were saying, or somebody was saying before about how they react, or over here, I guess, in the debates. Somebody mentioned that. That you would try to judge them on that basis rather than all the hoopla. Judy.
I guess, I'm trying to think a little bit about myself, and I think I don't really particularly want to label myself, but I think I'm sort of a disenchanted voter. Since ever since I began to vote in 1968, no one I've ever voted for has been elected. I feel a little fatalistic about that.
Vote for Reagan's page.
Two evils, and I'm wondering if there are other people here who just feel like nobody who's running quite represents what I want, but I have to vote. And I would love to hear if there's somebody here who really feels like there's somebody, Reagan or Mondale, who they are so happy they're running, that they really feel like, wow, this is it. I'd love to hear somebody also feel that way about it.
Oh, I agree with that.
Did you understand?
Sure, it's clear. Sure.
I was wondering how people felt about Geraldine Ferraro, whether they think she's an asset to the Democratic ticket.
Someone?
Sure.
Any response to Judy's question first?
Okay.
Any gung-ho's?
Or is there anybody like me?
There's somebody back. Okay.
In answer to that last thing, I share some of her views as I...
You're going to Geraldine?
No.
Judy's. Okay, come on.
Reagan Mondale. I too would probably lean more toward Mondale, but it's a real lukewarm type of thing. In the last election, I had the choice of Anderson. I did vote for Anderson, fully knowing that, not expecting him not to do that well. And it's disappointing. It's frustrating. I shared some of her frustration that you don't really have somebody who you really feel comfortable with, but I still think probably the two-party system we have in the long run is best for us rather than, say, some of the European countries where you might have a number of parties and have a whole bunch of trying coalition building.
Okay. Somebody else to Judy's question? Yeah.
I'm going to be voting for Mondale, as I said earlier. Not gung-ho, but rather half-heartedly, because I really don't feel there's, to my way of looking at things, much choice. But I don't have a real, I guess one reason is because I don't have a real good feel for Mondale. I don't think he comes across particularly well in a crowd. He's kind of like my pastor. My pastor is a super fellow. He comes across real well on a one-to-one basis or in a small group. He does not come across well on a Sunday morning preaching to an entire congregation. Now, I don't know if that's the kind of person Mondale is or not. I just don't have a good feel for that.
Okay, someone else. In response to Judy's question. She was looking for somebody who's sort of gung-ho, one or another.
Just happy.
Happy.
Well, we ought to be happy for what Reagan's doing for our country economically. He's taking care of the inflation, for one thing.
Okay.
Reduction of unemployment.
Okay.
Those are certainly positive. And if we listen to the speeches, he certainly did well on international affairs.
With
the Fitzgerald or whoever spoke during the convention? She was a Democrat and she had nothing but glowing reports for Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he appointed her.
Mm-hmm. You mean
Jean Kirkpatrick?
That doesn't
mean the very point that she's a Democrat and would get up and speak favorably. Reagan has something to say for him.
Yeah, but we ask for somebody to tell us if she's happy, and she's telling us she's happy.
Yes.
That's fine.
Much more happy than I'm going to be voting for Mondale. Okay. If I do, I mean I won't. That's my day.
And you say you agree with her, okay?
I agree with
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll go along with that, too.
Okay. Please, in back.
Well, of all the issues that we have, we get religious, we get social, we get political, we get armaments. Mm-hmm. Is there any one that every one of us would ever agree on?
No.
So then how can you expect someone to run for president that would have every quality that you wanted in that man and be on your side mm-hmm. of every single question? I think you're asking too much. And when we say we vote for the one that we think will do the least harm, maybe that's the way we feel. But think of how we feel on every issue, and then think of how our neighbor feels on every issue. How could one man satisfy us all? Okay.
But I would vote, I mean, I would work my tail off for Mark Hatfield running for president. Though I don't agree with him on every issue, I respect his integrity and can get excited about that one overriding issue, which I can't get excited about either Reagan or Mondale's integrity.
I agree with you on Mark Hatfield, and one thing that Mark Hatfield said is that we need a second term president badly, mainly because of the PACs, political action committees. They really get a hold of a candidate on their first run through, and they have less influence on the candidate the second time. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, he thinks we should have Reagan again.
To go one step further than what this lady was saying, suppose we did find the perfect candidate and elected the perfect candidate. How effective is a president if you haven't elected everyone else that's going to support him, and how often does that happen?
Somebody else?
We have a question about Geraldine.
Oh, yeah, there was the question was somewhere over here. Well, is Geraldine Ferraro an asset to the Democratic ticket or something like that, you ask, huh? Anybody have a response to that? We shifted around to that. Oh, we shifted around that. Excuse me.
Well, she's certainly dynamic.
Yeah, I think I was very impressed with her. I think that tape of her speaking out at the second press conference about her financial affairs should be taped and given to all public speaking classes, because I thought she really handled herself very well, and it was very impressive dynamically, which is a nice addition to Mondale, who is
running for president. Who else? Sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you talk about Mondale, you know, I mean, what a charisma that he's got. For goodness sakes, he's an actor. Where Mondale can't, but that doesn't mean they don't have it up here. I still don't, you know, I don't know which way I'm going, but I can't. Because I don't think that one man, I think it's the party. I haven't been party for a long time, but I'm looking that way too.
I mean, what he was saying, he was going to vote for the party rather than the man. Okay.
Yeah, better than the man this time.
Okay.
Can't help it, like Reagan.
You know, mm-hmm. My
nail's
Norwegian, he can't help it.
Bill's Presbyterian, he can't help it. I was defending Norwegian friends, Bill.
I'm a personal friend of Walter Mondale's father-in-law. He's also a Presbyterian pastor.
Oh, great. Back there, please.
My brother-in-law says he's going to vote for Reagan this time. He says he thinks the problem is the Democrats have their ticket reversed. If it was the other way around, he could vote Democratic.
Okay. Somebody else.
What about the age issue? Reagan's age.
You're asking us?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm asking everybody, young and old.
Somebody? Okay, I hear people saying they think Reagan's too young.
He's a late bloomer.
Somebody, want to react to that?
Yeah, I don't think Reagan's age is anything against it.
Mm-hmm. Are you suggesting that it's a problem?
Well, I don't think age makes any difference.
No, I don't think it should be an age.
Yeah,
we can go at any time, whatever the one decides.
Yeah.
That's right.
Anybody else? Yes, Judy.
This is a switch.
Sure. Any more on the age thing as a response to that? Go.
Sometimes the candidates that I voted for didn't get elected because they weren't a Democrat or Republican. They were a third party person. Sometimes have to debate myself about whether or not I should use my vote to vote Democratic or Republican, or whether I should use my vote to vote for someone else of another party, a smaller party, that more closely represents my beliefs. I'm wondering if other people think about that, as well as if there are people who have also tried to not vote at all and see if in some way or another that sends a message.
Okay. Anyone respond?
I think it might be a good theory to vote for like a third party like Anderson and, to try and send a message, but I think it's kind of futile. It doesn't get across and doesn't seem to be. It's going to for many, many years until there's a lot bigger independent party than there is.
How would the party get bigger? How would a third party get bigger without people voting for it?
Actually, I think the party would have to get bigger by winning the people before the vote,
long before the vote comes up. You know, it's something you've got to be started years ahead.
Certainly.
And starting from community meetings, like for instance, a meeting like this, and then multiplied throughout the country could spread something. But there's got to be a lot of discontent before you can do it.
Well, that has been tried. I think part of the problem is we're so ingrained with the two-party system that it's very difficult to break out of that mold. But I can remember years ago, and perhaps some of you remember, back in the Midwest, there was, I believe, what they called the Mole Moose Party, the Farm Labor Movement. And so this type of thing has been tried, but it's never really taken hold for any length of time.
It's been regional.
That too.
Well, there was a time when the Communist Party had a lot of candidates all over the country, too. And then they were finally driven more or less underground.
Wonder if anybody has any reaction to the black vote and what it might do in the election. Anyone?
Well, I think talking about this third party, we see a terrific example of what can be done with what Jesse Jackson did in the Democratic Party. I mean, if he had run as a third party instead of in the primaries within the Democratic Party, he had enough votes to get his, 10% that you need in order to qualify for federal funds for elections. And that was done, you know, grassroots type of thing.
Now, if he could have, he was talking not only about black, but also about the Chicanos and all the Hispanics, too. If he could have really got them together, but he couldn't quite make it.
One color, many rainbows. It's the other way around. That's an inside joke here at Holden. Excuse me. Yeah, he had his hand up first.
Oh, about related to this. I worry about a country where there are two races and the overwhelming number of one race is for one candidate and the overwhelming number of members of another race are for another candidate. I see real danger. And Ben, I wanted to share who I'm going to vote for, but do you want to wait till we vote?
No, I wasn't quite sure what you said, though. I didn't quite understand your statement about...
I think the country is moving more and more towards division between black and white.
I see.
And I think that's indicated by the fact that such an overwhelming number of blacks will vote for one candidate, and a great majority of whites will vote for another candidate.
Okay. Let's wait with that and see if there's any response, and then ask you to tell who you're voting for. Is there any response to that?
Well,
Now, I don't know that you can really say that just because Jesse Jackson is a Democrat and has drummed up a lot of people to register. You have not determined the fact that they are going to vote Democratic. They may vote against Jesse Jackson and what he feels for. You don't know that.
Well, actually, all of the blacks were not behind Jesse Jackson.
No, very different.
There was a lot of, like, the Urban League and some of these others, large factions of blacks that were not with Jesse Jackson. That was one of his problems, too.
That black vote might just be split.
I think the guessing about it, I think the record, if you know, the record is that where he ran, the large majority of blacks voted for him. So, I mean, that would be a fact that you'd have to deal with. Mm-hmm. Now, that's no, as you're saying, that's no projection.
That was within the same party.
That's right. That's right. I'm agreeing with that.
You know, it didn't split the party line.
That's right. All I'm saying is that that's a fact, that the majority of the blacks that voted for Jesse. Okay.
But had he been a Republican, there would have been a lot of them voted Republican for him. Right. He's a very convincing individual. Mm-hmm.
Not too much being said about that.
Nobody wants to face it.
Somebody else? Yes, that lady. I'm sorry, you
I'd
had your
like
hand up.
I'd like to hear some comments as to what you think the Carter Mondale administration would have on the Carter Ferrero campaign.
On the Mondale Ferrero?
Yeah. Mondale.
That's a
little curious. I gave myself.
Okay.
What was your question?
Yeah. What effect do you think that the Carter Mondale administration as a holdover will have for or against Mondale and Ferrero? Mm-hmm. Sit it right this time.
Okay. Somebody? Anybody got a response?
I think that's one of the things they've got to try and overcome. Everybody that remembers Carter Mondale would be inclined to vote for Reagan. Because, let's face it, the depression, the unemployment and everything that we've gone through came about, who caused it or anything, but anyhow, it came about under their administration. And the recovery has come under Reagan's administration, whether he can take all the credit for it or not or something else. Mm-hmm. But politically, when you're campaigning, why, he's going to get a lot of credit for it.
He sure likes to get a lot of credit for it.
Well, I think he's entitled to it.
Dan.
I could say, I have kind of moderate joy about Mondale. Moderate. But that's more of my feeling. I really think, personally, that the United States right now is living in fantasy land. And that is this dream that somehow our personal wealth can grow and grow and grow and grow. And we will elect a candidate that promises us that in 4 years we are going to be better off, which means richer and richer and richer. And I don't think we have a world that can sustain this. We have an angry world of poor people that there's some effect on them by our continuing to think we can become wealthier. And I think President Reagan is a fantasy land candidate. This is how I would label him, in that the convincing us that it can keep on working and working and working. And I think that day is over. And I think it reminds me of the Old Testament prophets who were countered by the court prophets who said, peace, 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 when there's no peace. Wealth, wealth, wealth. And for them, that day was over, but people chose to listen to it. Unreal, because it's uncomfortable to listen to the reality of our world, a world of angry people who are poor that are rising up, a world of natural resources that are becoming less and less plentiful, a world of possible ecological disaster. The way that President Reagan somehow is able to maintain this sense of everything is okay and we're just going to keep on somehow going, I think that is the wrong direction. And I'm not sure the Democrats have saved. I mean, they also buy into this that we're going to make things better and you'll be richer under us. So I'm not saying the Democrats don't live under the illusion. I think both parties are at the end of an old way of thinking. and I hope the world lasts long enough for a total disaster doesn't happen before the American people wake up to a whole new reality of thinking, and that is the good, wholesome life maybe lies in some other area rather than increasing our material wealth as a nation. I think Gary Hart began to ask some of those questions, and there's a speech he gave before he became serious about winning said some things that I think might be the wave of the future about our quality of life and how that has to change. And I'm waiting for a candidate in the future that will be charismatic in a way that can sell us on a new way of thinking that needs to be taught. I'm not voting for Reagan because I think he's more fantasy than the Democrat.
Okay. Somebody else? In response to that? Yes.
Okay. I'm concerned that people believe we're better off now with Reagan than we were before. I don't doubt that maybe economically we are. I don't see it for myself that perhaps we are. But I think that as a society, in being better off, we are exploiting others in this world. And I feel a little guilty about that. And I guess I'm not real hot on Mondale either, but if I get the chance to vote, it'll be for Mondale, and it's more a vote against Reagan.
Okay. Yes.
Just kind of thinking about the economic thing. That's the Republican Party's, you know, kind of big ace in the hole. But if you really take a look at it, our unemployment, the unemployment went up and peaked and has come down to about what it was before. You know, his big thing is he stopped inflation. But you take a look at it, inflation is down. The buying power hasn't increased. You take a look at interest rates are down. If you look at the difference between inflation and the interest rate, that gap is the same, which means that if you borrow money, it's going to cost you as much, in essence now, as it would be if you were borrowing it at an inflation rate, which is eating up that extra 10% or so. So interest rates really haven't come down for electric corporations or people that are really buying it. And that's an important thing to remember. And the economy has come back, sure, but he's spent $500 billion to do it. The Democrats have proposed a $500 billion social program over 4 years. They would have gotten laughed out of Congress. But he got away with it. You know. And so we are living on borrowed time. He's cut long-term programs for the benefit of the country, you know, like education, for the quick buck. You can't do that and get away with it for very long. One fear that I have of voting for the Democrats is that the Democrats might win and that the collapse might occur during the time when they're in office, and we might get another 8 more years of this.
Yes, sir.
I think there's a little fallacy in your thinking. Spend it all because there's a Congress that basically authorized it.
He asked for it.
But the Democrats have the control in the House, and they could have said no.
Where this money was really spent was really in cutting the taxes, and that was done during the very first 2 years of Reagan's term. And they risked, if they had gone against it, and there was a good public wanted it. You know, let's face it, he did what the public was asking him to do. But if they had done it, they would have been charged with obstructing his policies and would have been responsible for their failure, you see. And they didn't want to risk that. So they said, okay, we'll give it to you. Barely. But they did. But that's the reason why.
So Congress was purely playing Congress politics and buying votes.
Yes.
So the Democrats are not above buying votes.
No, nope. Neither party is above buying votes.
Right.
No,
right.
There's no question about that.
That's why this political action committee here is so strong.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you analyze the military debt, or military payments we're paying out, so much of it is fixed. In fact, there's officers that are getting more in pension than they did when they were an officer. Now, and they're drawing Social Security, and they're drawing maybe civil service. Now, congressmen are drawing, some of them, $150,000 a year in pensions. know, by way of Social Security, from state, federal, and whatever. Now, to me, this is where we, and I realize that the defense thing has to be cut too, but this has to be cut across the board. We can't forever spend ourselves in the prosperity that this doesn't work. It has never worked in history and never will. And I don't think you can ever, I mean, history has told us that it never works, and I'm sure it never will. And I would like to see Reagan change his policy on this defense thing, because I think he's all wet in that area. But I think he has more rights than wrongs in his direction which he's going. But really, the president really doesn't have that much control in this country. It's the bureaucrats, basically, that have been in Washington for 20 years that, when you get them down to the nuts and the bolts of the organization, that's the basic thing that makes the wheels turn and spend the money, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't completely buy that. I think it's the policies which are set. A lot of the costs are fixed, like you said. And I think that there's a lot, and I think you touched on some great ideas for cutting it, because I personally know of lots of situations where you've got military people who are retired, who are working for the government, and they get brownie points, so they're almost sure to get all the main government jobs, since they're high. You know, what you have is you have a colonel or something like that moves into an administrative position in the government because they've got the brownie points to do it and the administrative experience. And so then they end up getting, you know, a $30,000 salary from being a colonel and a $30,000 salary or more for being a bureaucrat, plus whatever else stuff they have. Plus they get their home on Veterans Administration for a war they fought in, 40 years ago. And yet people like Vietnam vets aren't able to get those things. You know, there are lots of places that things can be cut.
Didn't Ed Meese just get a big commission? And he's in the reserves, right? He was a colonel or something, now he's a general. He hasn't done a thing but just be there.
It could be. I mean, he would only be one of many.
You know, he's a Lutheran.
I know. I saw his article.
We're not
crowded. Unfortunately, this situation probably goes back into the 40s.
Go ahead.
Where this situation of piggybacking your retirement, I think goes back in the 40s or early 50s when Congress voted these things in. It has nothing to do with the present or just the immediate past administration. You say no?
No, I agree with you.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm saying there's no, it doesn't have anything to do with the last president or the
previous president.
How many presidents?
Okay.
But I mean, it's a place that some cutting could be
done.
I agree. Well, but this is not merely happening on the federal level, but also on the state, county, and city level. Like you think, our poor underpaid state senators and congressmen, the pensions that they get.
People that don't know themselves.
Yeah, and so this is about the time they're going to get in third retirement. They'll get themselves appointed to a nice, juicy state job, and all the time they served as one of our poor, underpaid representatives or senators counts as their seniority for their pension on that, and they get a great big state pension. This goes throughout the whole country. It's not just, I mean, Democrats, Republicans, or whatever, it don't matter.
And until you solve personal greed, they won't stop it.
That's right.
The other side of that, though, is that if we paid them more, we'd probably get better quality people.
I don't
believe
that.
County commissioners are worthless, but we pay them practically nothing. There isn't anybody that wants the job.
I'd like to shift gears.
Pardon, go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I've already talked way more than I thought I would. More than I thought I should. Getting back to Reagan Mondale, to me the overriding issue is that of the arms race, because if we don't solve that problem, we really don't need to worry about underpaid legislators or vaporized legislators. President Reagan's statements, several of them, though none of them in the last year and a half or so, have indicated that he believes that a limited nuclear war is possible and winnable, as does his Secretary of Defense, Caspar Weinberger. I mean, you're talking fantasy land. I recently returned from the Soviet Union. I have made friends with people over there, both Christian and non-Christian. And while he insists he was just joking to say that I've declared Russia illegal and the bombing will start in 5 minutes. You don't make a joke about that when you're talking about your friends, or even when you're talking about human beings. And President Reagan really scares the living daylights out of me, because I don't think he has any conception of international affairs or the dangers of nuclear war. Helen Caldicott is a physician and certainly has her own very strong feelings about this area. In meeting with the president personally, raised real questions about the man's mental stability. I was real reluctant to say that because of that reaction, and I guess I wish I hadn't. But to anyone who thinks, given the information that is available to him, that nuclear war is feasible, is limitable, that raises questions for me.
Bill, I remember, if I remember her quote or her saying that, I'm not sure she said mental stability as much as grasp or interest or grasp of the issues. Did she go stronger?
Well, it was stronger than what I said, and I was trying to be less strong. I wish I hadn't said it what I said.
Well, there's another thought perhaps too along that line, in that in order to keep this military industrial complex going, you have to have an enemy, because if you didn't have an enemy, there'd be no purpose.
In the war of 1984.
At least the market.
One of the reasons perhaps why we keep doing the things we do, or our government.
It seems to me that your military buildups, maybe not be totally for this country, but it's a vent for getting rid of some of our obsolete equipment and replacing it with newer by supplying other factions in the world with our obsolete equipment and keeping other fires going elsewhere in other places in the world. And to some aspect, be as much as I'm against war, if there be a war, to have the most sophisticated and dependable equipment is an absolute necessity. As I say, I'm not for war, but to be prepared is the best we can.
Unless some people are saying, unless it's nuclear.
Right. Then we've got to get to that process with the most.
Well, but they say if even the first one gets them all.
Yeah. No.
Somebody else?
My feeling is that back in 1945, at the end of World War II, this has been bothering me for a long time. I was over on the front line in Europe. And we had to stop at this river over there. We couldn't go any further. We let the Russians, the Germans came into our line by the thousands, walking, riding, or anything. Now, if they let us go, if they let the military take over, we would have been so far through Berlin that you wouldn't have any of this trouble. Probably swore you guys over there, I don't know. But anyway, we couldn't go more than so far, but we had all the opportunity in the world. We could have been through Berlin, but the politicians said, no, you guys got to let the Russia come.
Okay.
Maybe I can get back to the present election here a little bit. Something that bothers me and has for a long time is a feeling, does my vote really count anymore? I mean, we talk about this, we discuss all this and how important it is individually, but I come from Illinois, and it's usually a pivotal state. Mm-hmm. And when I see that state go by a number of votes to a candidate and then find out that more than that number has been fraudulently voted in the city of Chicago, what good is my vote doing? And I'm sure, right, Chicago's a good example, but there are other cities and other states where there's vote fraud to the point that, you know, what good is my vote doing these days? It gets a little bit troublesome.
Someone reaction to that? We just have about 2 minutes
volunteer
left.
Volunteer to be a poll watcher. At least you can cut that out in your own precinct.
Where I live, I don't think I've got that much of a problem. But
pardon?
You know, they can't volunteer. I wanted to work, but I just don't get called.
Mm-hmm. Well, they cried for poll watchers of the Republican Party in Chicago, and they can't even find them. They don't have them because there's none in the city. There just aren't enough Republicans. And I mean, it boils down to this organization again. Are you electing a man, or is the party strong enough to get out there? I don't care. I've worked elections, and I know how it goes. Either you get your people organized and get them out. It's not a case of, is he a good candidate or a bad candidate? You go around and you find out who's going to vote for your man, because you're going to give him a job, because his job depends on you, and you get him to the polls, and you don't bother the guy next door that doesn't have any worry. And this is how elections, to a great extent, are decided, not by these deep issues, these real gut issues that we feel are so important. And that is really a troublesome.
Well, for some people, a job is a gut issue.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Someone else? Yeah. One more? Or go ahead and you, and then one more.
Someone else has got
it. Is there anybody else that hasn't spoken yet that would like to speak yet?
My feeling is that not to vote is a vote.
Okay.
A vote for what?
Not to vote says either I don't care, I don't want to take the time to be informed, or something else, but it is a vote.
Okay. One more?
I was just going to say, I wonder if the advertising for elections and the material distributed for elections, if those were to be done on essentially an even-handed basis, whether or not a lot of this pushing one candidate over the other candidate, getting out the political machine, could be somehow or other just derailed, knocked off the tracks a little bit, and to get around some of it.
It's part of our fantasy.
Yeah.
We could do this. It would be great. We could maybe ban all advertising or keep all elections within 6 weeks of November. Or, you know, they're running for 1988 already. Out there. Mm-hmm. 1984 is a dead
have
issue.
Been.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
And I mean, it's not the issues that are electing these people. It's the organizations.
And I've always been disappointed by most presidential debates, particularly the Reagan-Carter debates. I mean, they didn't answer any of the questions. They didn't address them. There's, you know, essentially each person giving one speech after the other. I almost wonder whether or not a nice questionnaire that was distributed so there was written material on each of the candidates responding to a series of questions put out together by both parties or all major parties would be perhaps a better way to get the information distributed.
I don't know
if you'd get them to answer it. But maybe they couldn't vote, maybe they couldn't run if they didn't. It would be a good way to do it.
I think, too, that maybe while it's suppressing the press, if the press was required to publish what is spoken and restrain a lot of their commentary, which is very tainted, to swing the populist vote, it might be to the public's advantage. Let them see what the candidate is saying and not what the newspaper is saying or the television. How many speeches have you listened to and you no sooner get done listening to what the man said and a commentator is on that air telling you what you heard, or what he says you heard.
Right,
I'll agree 100%.
It has
a different inflection on it, and it has a different meaning.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've run out of time. Thank you all for your participation. Appreciate it very much.